Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. The Lakers just lost to the Portland Trail Blazers, which is never fun. They've lost their last nine games against them, as Portland PR is ready to tell everybody. But thankfully, we have Drew Unga on our side, Drew Ungvari, that is. And he says that the Blazers are still down 35 in the total season series. So, suck it, Portland. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, how'd you handle the game and stuff?
You know, it was kind of the same old story, right? They built up a lead, or they were playing pretty strongly. They were playing competitive with another team that's probably better than them, and kind of living up to that motto that they've had all year that they can compete with anyone when they're on. But unfortunately for them, they just kind of have a habit of turning off in third quarters, and then they were really bad down the stretch tonight, just as far as their shot selection and all kinds of other stuff.
Yep. So before we get into all kinds of other stuff, as Harrison puts it, I wanted to remind everybody that you can find our show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers to get your $20 rebate on the first purchase using the application. SeatGeek is the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets online. So basically, the way today's show is going to go, we're going to talk about the game. It's been a while since we talked about just a singular game. And then we're going to expand the conversation to, apparently there was a 50 Shades of Shade that I missed. And Harrison has a hot take that he hasn't given in quite some time. So a lot to get to. Let's go ahead and get into the game. We're going to start with the fourth quarter offense, which I find really frustrating to watch, because I thought we got away from hero ball when Kobe Bryant retired and the previous coach was let go. But for some reason, the Lakers just love heaving these attempted haymakers that just almost never, I honestly can't really remember very many of them actually connecting, but they're trying these haymakers, and it's just ugly offense. I'm not sure what's going on there. You said you had the play chart in front of you for a while there, right?
I went to look it up, and the Lakers attempted, it looks like, just about the majority of their shots from behind the arc during the fourth quarter. And that kind of matches with what the eye test was telling us, which was that they were all, like you said, they were going for that haymaker. Every single guy wanted to deliver the one shot that either gave them back the momentum or finished off Portland, and none of them could get it.
And they were not, so it's one thing if it's a good three-point attempt, right, where you get the ball movement and somebody springs open because of a three, a set occurs, something like that. But for most of the attempts that the Lakers were actually getting off, they seemed to be mostly off the dribble, kind of out of or off balance. They just weren't good shot attempts. And again, this is something that the Lakers, they aren't that kind of team. Like, it's one thing if you have a Harden or you have a Russ, where, you know, for those of you who watched the TNT doubleheader tonight, you had Russ and Harden kind of trading baskets, and finally Harden makes a pass to Nene to you know, get fouled and then seal that game. But you have two really, you know, just elite superstars that when as the game is ending, you want those guys to be able to shoot as much as possible, according to, you know, historically what happens in these NBA games. But for some reason, the Lakers, you know, nowadays they just kind of say, okay, if you touch the ball first across half court, you're going to come around a screen, and we're going to see where this happens. It'll be interesting to see if Luke has any kind of quotes on that. What do you think is behind it? Do you think it's just a lack of trust still in what is a relatively new system?
Yeah, I think that's probably some of it. I think some of it is the thing that I always go back to is these guys are, and everybody's judging by our Twitter mentions, sick of hearing that the team is young. But believe it or not, they're still young. It's only been half a season since, you know, the year started. But they're young, and I think one of the issues with that, rather than just the catch-all of them being young, is that all of these guys were the best player on their team for a long, long time. And I think it's hard to break that. I'm not saying that the guys should have their confidence broken, but they aren't always going to be the one to take that final shot or the one to bring their team back or the one to make that heroic play. And I think that some of it, the Lakers just have to be kind of broken of that. And these are the types of games where they're going to make these mistakes. And one would hope that they look at it on film and they realize what they have to do differently next time.
Yeah,
they needed more ball movement. And I'm sure that that's going to be the focus of whatever limited tape they're able to look at between now and by this point tonight's game against the Miami Heat.
It's kind of funny that you mentioned fans who were frustrated with the youth on the team, and heading into the season when the Lakers, you know, because again, very few people were talking about the playoffs with this unit, very, very few, especially people with platforms. Nobody was really talking about the playoffs with this Lakers team. And when fans tried to convince people with those platforms that the Lakers could make the playoffs, a lot of people pointed to that Portland Trailblazers team of last year where everything literally went right for them. Everybody played out of their minds. Nobody got hurt. And they found their way into the playoffs somewhat miraculously. And the Lakers tonight play against that same Portland team, whose season hasn't gone very well because they've kind of regressed to the mean a little bit and found themselves within, you know, within reach for all of the fourth quarter. But, you know, the Blazers are a former playoff team. The Lakers are not a former playoff team. And these things are going to happen where one team is set and ready to run their sets and benefit from bounces because of the places that those sets put them in, and the other team is simply not going to be able to, and it's about learning. You know, that's kind of what I tweeted, and I know people are probably frustrated with it, but after the game I tweeted out, it's all about keeping it close enough to learn. And again, the Lakers tonight, I thought, kept it close enough to learn from the situations that they continue to put themselves in. Now, as the season goes along, you want them to actually learn. And I just don't think we've reached that point in the season where we're allowed to get frustrated about them not learning because they haven't even played half of their games yet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to tell anyone that they can or can't be frustrated, but I agree with you that we're not at the point where, I mean, you reasonably should be upset with that. I mean, it's okay to be frustrated that they're losing these games down the stretch. It's inherently frustrating. But the team is not at the point where they should be winning these games yet. It should not be the expected result. It's nice when it happens, but they still have a long kind of, or I guess not that. Yeah, they have a long growth process ahead of them. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, the line tonight was +7.5 in Portland's favor. And that just tells you, like, there's a slight separation.
Seems like they're a bit of a favorite.
Yeah, a little bit. I think that's safe to say. And again, like, for all this talk about them being close, and I know people, again, aren't going to like what sounds like excuse making, but those moments where the Lakers weren't coming up with loose balls, that's where Larry Nance Jr. tends to help out a lot, right? And some of those loose balls, those offensive rebounds that Portland just kind of seemed to get their hands on and led to three-pointers. I can think of two instances like this off the top of my head. That's where having Larry Nance Jr. comes into play. And I know there's a fine line between excuse-making and explaining what might be going on. And I'm trying to explain what's going on when I know a lot of people are going to take it as me making excuses for a young team. And, you know, you're perfectly within your right to take it either way. We are going to get back to talking about this game. There are a couple more notes that we were going to make about the game. But before we get to that, we do want to talk about SeatGeek, today's promoting sponsor. SeatGeek, again, is the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets online. It's been a little while because of the holidays and stuff, but they are back to supporting us. They really haven't stopped supporting us ever, so we greatly appreciate that. For me personally, SeatGeek is great because of the deal rating that they offer. It's just really good to know immediately. It's instant gratification, and that's kind of what our society is about nowadays. It's great to get that instant gratification, knowing that you got a good deal. Harrison, I'm willing to bet what you're going to say is your favorite aspect of the app.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw a little curveball at you. I recently ordered ticket. I've mentioned this a couple times before, but it's coming up, so I was thinking about it. I bought tickets for a couple friends of mine's had birthdays close together, so I bought tickets for all of us to go to this Sunday's Lakers game, and I was able to do it really, really easily on SeatGeek. I grabbed my phone. I was able to do a couple clicks. I was already at the place where I had to order, and I put in the LO Lakers promo code, and a couple weeks later, my rebate was in my inbox, so it was pretty seamless and easy. I would say the whole process took me less than 10 minutes.
That's great to hear. That's great to hear. It's a great application. You don't for families like myself or like my own, we do not have a printer at home. We have a printer, which is just, it's out of ink, and it's been out of ink now for a while. We went green. And so it's nice to not have to print out the tickets. You can just kind of show up. They scan in. If you use the promo code and you get your $20 rebate, you have $20 in your pocket to do with what you will. So again, great application. Thanks to SeatGeek for the support. We just got to in turn make sure our audience is supporting them as well. Let's get back to the game. I thought tonight, Luke, if there is a criticism to be made of Luke's coaching tonight, and it was that I thought he stuck with Lou Williams a little too long tonight. I wanted to talk, though, about Lou, and tonight was kind of one of those nights where you kind of remember, oh, yeah, that's right. This is why Lou is only getting paid $7 million a year to play basketball.
Turns out he's not an MVP candidate. Yeah, that's true.
That's odd. but tonight he finishes the game with one of his more disappointing lines of the year. He finishes with 10 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 turnovers, and on 3 of 8 shooting, only 4 free throws that he attempted. We'll talk about the calls here in a second. We had people lamenting the refereeing in our mentions. We'll talk about that in a second. But Lou tonight, not only offensively was he struggling, but defensively, Evan Turner, of all people, was making him look completely useless. He was looseless, if you would like.
I would not like, but yeah, okay. Evan Turner absolutely abused the Lakers down the stretch and kind of showed off the potential. I think he was having a little duel with D'Angelo Russell to some degree, trying to show that he was the real better second overall pick from Ohio State. So, you know, I apologize to Laker fans for triggering them with that nightmare scenario. Evan Turner, while his career has been probably a little bit more disappointing than a lot of people thought, he was amazing tonight, and he just kind of did what one of his strengths is, and he's able to post guys up, especially when they're smaller than him.
He was doing really good at getting to his spots. He hit a three tonight, which he almost never does. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't imagine he's anywhere near the league leaders in 3-point shooting totals this year.
That seems like a safe assumption.
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable saying that. But the thing that I wasn't thrilled with while I was watching Lou play against Turner was, like, somebody like Turner is only really going to hurt you in isolation if you kind of try to reach and get yourself out of just kind of playing him solid. I thought Lou did a whole bunch of reaching, and because of that, because Lou was obviously not as big as Turner, Turner was just kind of using that against him, sealing him really quickly and getting into spots where even if he wasn't hitting his shots tonight, he was forcing the Lakers to adjust to that penetration. And, you know, even if he missed it, the Blazers were often in good position to get the rebound. It just wasn't a good game for Lou, and I can't imagine he would disagree after playing in it.
No, Lou typically keeps it real. I have a feeling he would not be thrilled with his performance tonight.
Yeah, with all this said, though, I do think that this is more the outlier than the norm of what to expect from Lou kind of moving forward, where it was a bad matchup. He didn't have it going, so I kind of would have liked to seen, you know, a little bit more Clarkson down the stretch, though Clarkson did play 32 minutes compared to Lou's 24. It was just one of those nights where the shot wasn't going for Lou and the calls weren't happening. And we'll go ahead and use that as a segue to get into the next topic. And the referee.
Well, really quickly on the Lou thing, can I just say one thing? Mm-hmm. You mentioned you thought that one of your quibbles was Luke sticking with him a little bit too long. And I actually agree with you, but I do think that it's good. And it's something that I think a lot of us have wanted to see a little bit more of Russell and Lou playing together. Mm-hmm. And it didn't really work tonight. But I'd be curious for them to give it another shot in maybe a matchup that has maybe some smaller guards in the backcourt where they can hide Lou a little bit better.
There were quite a few interesting lineups out there tonight where I think they had at one point...
Yeah, when they went small with Randall at center and Ingram at the four, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and again, like, this comes back to... Here's a disclaimer that I usually use when people are criticizing Luke for, you know, rotations and this and that and the other, is this is his first year, not just as a head coach in the NBA, his first full year as a head coach in the NBA, but it's with a collection of guys that haven't played together before. So he's
a whole group of rookies.
Yeah, and so he's trying to find these rotations out kind of on the fly, going up against, like tonight, he's going up against the Blazers team that, you know, there was no, you know, incredible change across their roster aside from adding the aforementioned Evan Turner, who killed the Lakers tonight. But
yeah, and they added I'm blanking on his name now. Festus Ezeli from the Golden State Warriors. Oh, yeah.
That's turned out really well for him.
Yeah, it's been amazing. They made some major offseason additions, but no, yeah, they've had they have a lot more continuity than the Lakers do.
And so, you know, the reason I'm hesitant to criticize Luke on his rotations or on his choice or his choices when he's coaching is because he's out there trying out these different things, and that was a criticism of the last guy that I had, was that both the years that the last guy was at the helm should have been seen as extended tryouts for a lot of people on the roster. And when you're trying people out, you kind of want to see how they play with each other. So when he had these arbitrary, you know, 10-game stretches that he was only going to play so-and-so with so-and-so, and these guys are going to start for these 10 games and however he wanted to handle that, I was sitting there rolling my eyes like, no, that's not how you want to handle this. That's not good management of the situation. And when I'm looking at how Luke is handling that, where you had, you know, the lineup you talked about earlier and trying out Lou and D'Angelo and trying out Ingram and D'Angelo and Young and D'Angelo and trying all these different things, yes, that in some of these one-game sample sizes, it's not going to work out. But I would hope that he's not going to completely go away from it as the season goes along, because again, it's about finding out if these guys can actually play together. That's a lot more important than any singular win.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
So before we go on to the other couple topics that we're going to talk about, we had a couple people talking about the refereeing. I did more complaining about the refereeing in my Twitter coverage of the game that I usually like to do. I wasn't really, not really proud of that. I'm going to try to clean that up as the season goes along. But
yeah, we had at A1 Shooter, a listener to the show, mm-hmm. ask, can you guys talk about the ridiculous officiating? So we got you. We hear you, and we're going to talk about it.
I've done the vast majority of the talking in this podcast. So Harrison, I'll let you take this topic.
Well, I think what happened was the refs were really bad, and
all right, end of topic.
Yeah, so that was easy. No, I think it just looked like a lot of the time that it's simple stuff, right? The Lakers, I just think it goes back to the young thing. They haven't developed that, I guess, credibility that refs look for when they're calling fouls. I don't know how else to explain it, because there were just so many times where they were the Lakers, especially, it seemed like Russell was getting into the lane or Randall was getting into the lane, and it looked like they were getting shoved or pushed or whatever, and they weren't able to draw a foul despite looking pretty clearly like they were probably fouled. And Russell, I think he ended up with a few free throw attempts tonight. I actually think that he did a pretty good job drawing free throws overall. He had 8 of them, but I just think that there was a lot of stuff that went uncalled, and those are the types of things that end up helping them towards lines of 4 for 13 for Randall and 6 for 18 for Russell, where if you're getting fouled and it's not getting called, then it still counts as a shot attempt, and all of a sudden this shot that has no chance of going in is getting counted against your field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. And so I think that definitely hurt them tonight. And I mean, I don't know, it's hard to analyze officiating, right? I don't think that it was very good. I thought there was a lot of contact that went uncalled, especially for those two guys.
I thought there was way too much contact to be going on in the entire game for one team to shoot 33 free throws and the other team to only shoot 30. Like, I would say if you were to talk to Blazers fans about the game, I would imagine they would have gripes as well. And that's kind of what I look for, is when I follow enough people, you know, in it that also tweet about basketball, that I can see as the game is going along that they're complaining about calls as often as I'm complaining about calls. And when that's kind of going on, that's when you know it's not a very good night for the referee. That when both sides have real complaints, legitimate complaints. What I prefer is when, you know, only one or two times am I complaining about the referees, and then only one or two times is somebody else on the other side who blogs about the other team, are they complaining about the refereeing. And tonight it was, you know, I probably mentioned it about 5 or 6 times. I saw a good 5 or 6, maybe 7 times on the other side of it. It just wasn't a cleanly refereed game. What I found weird, though, was the offensive fouls against Brandon Ingram. Like, okay, fine, don't call the contact, the hand check call, if you're not going to call the hand check call. But don't then also call him for an offensive foul when everybody watching the games, and the first thing anybody says about Brandon Ingram is that he's super skinny. And being super skinny means you probably can't manipulate a defender using strength, right? So for the most part, like, just if you see offensive contact, let that go. If you see defensive contact and offensive contact, let the play go. And he picked up, I thought, a couple cheap fouls that kind of took him out of a rhythm. He shot, I think, one time in the second half tonight, and that's according to Darius Soriano of Foreign Blue and Gold. He was completely taken out of his rhythm, and I'm not completely, you know, notching that up to the refereeing. But it's probably not a good sign when an athlete thinks he's going to get a call for him, and then he turns around and yep, that's actually not going to happen. I got a foul called against me. It wasn't a good night. But I think the bigger issue, like,
and
you
I
said,
think that that's what you see, yeah, leading to kind of Julius Randle, excuse me, getting so frustrated when he ended up on the ground with Plumlee. And sure, Plumlee touched his face, but if it hasn't been that physical of a game, you can kind of let it go. And Julius really lost his cool there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's typically not a guy to really do that.
Right. He lost his cool. Fortunately, he lost his cool and just kind of – he kind of put his hand in Plumlee's chest to just kind of push himself up. I thought the referees, even in a poorly managed game, managed that
was
that
one of their
situation.
They didn't call a technical on either guy, I thought was the right decision.
Yep, it was. It absolutely was. So, but I, like I said, the bigger issue is that they're young. They're too young to have, you know, developed a reputation. And this is the last point that I'm going to make on this. And Luke apparently talked to Randle about this during the game tonight. And this is after spending the whole last segment complaining about refereeing. So, you know, do with this what you will. But Luke is telling these guys, hey, you can't keep complaining about this because that probably isn't going to force referees to just mid-game change their mind and say, you know, oh, you know what? Let's have an epiphany right here and now. That's usually not how that works. So it's really frustrating and it's really hard for a young player to do, but they kind of just have to suck it up and play through it as
Wait, would you say that they need to man up?
No.
You set me up for that one. I'm sorry.
It's so grating to hear those two words. All right. Speaking of the last coach, we have a 50 Shades of Shade. We haven't had one in quite some time.
Well, do we want to do this first or do we want to do a couple viewer questions first?
Oh, let's hit some questions.
Okay. So we have this one from Charlie at Charlie G. Okay. Mm-hmm. He spelled it, it's like Charlie but with a W, so I don't know why I try to pronounce these apps.
It's either like they're from Boston or they're British. Like, hey Charlie.
Well, hopefully British. Uh-huh. But when was the last time anyone with stats play like young guys turned into all-stars? Honest question. So I mean, I think he's not trying to be combative or he honestly wants to know. So I went ahead and looked this up, and I didn't look it up for all the young guys, but if you want to let's take a look at it through the lens of Russell. So for him, his age 20 season, he is averaging right now 13.7 points per game. Or no, wait, that is not correct. Okay. Sorry, I looked at the wrong thing.
We'll cut it. We're good.
Per 36 minutes at age 20, D'Angelo Russell is averaging 17.6 points per game, 4.7 assists, and 4.4 rebounds. At the same age, Kobe was averaging 2 more points per game, about one less assist, and pretty much the exact same number of rebounds. Their shooting percentages are similar. Kobe was a little better, 43.9% versus Russell's 40.8%, but Russell was the better three-point shooter, 36.2% versus 33.5%. And their turnovers, Russell averages 0.3 more turnovers per 36 minutes than Kobe did at age 20. And so their stats are pretty comparable. And this isn't to say that Russell is going to be Kobe, but it's just to say that he hasn't been this lost cause. And we got into these Russell misconceptions a little bit on yesterday's podcast, and you can kind of go check that out if you want to, and all the feeds that Anthony mentioned. But he's not a lost cause. That's the thing. He's been fine for a 20-year-old adjusting to life in the NBA. This is normal stuff.
You said Russell is shooting 365 from three-point range?
36.2 from three-point range.
Okay, so I'm going off. I'm just going to read this off. Kobe's rookie season, he shot 37.5%. The next time he was up near or above there
from the field or from three?
From three.
Okay.
The next time he was above what Russell is shooting right now was the 2002-2003 season where he shot 38%. The next time after that, he shot above 36.2 is never. It never happened again. So
I mean, I think it's safe to say that Russell's likely going to end up being a better three-point shooter, at least during his career, than Kobe was. But, yeah. I mean, mainly because Kobe shot so many off-the-dribble ones, which is a habit that Russell is going to have to curb a little bit eventually. Mm-hmm. But I think overall he's probably a better shooter, yeah, or will be a better shooter. I bring this up because we talk about everybody is sick of hearing about their young. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but you're probably going to have to get used to it. And that kind of segues us into our next question, which comes from Brian Bird at BViper24. And he says, how long in years before we stop using youth as an excuse on why they lose games? And I actually think that's a good question. How many years do you think that this takes before we start to say, all right, this guy, he has bad instincts, and that's why he's making this mistake? Or we start to criticize more aspects of their game outside that aren't directly caused by youth. What would you say?
Well, according to fantasy, like anybody who's ever played fantasy, the year you want to own a player is typically in that third year, because they've had – so if they have a good rookie season, generally the rest of the NBA adjusts to them. They have the sophomore slump that occurs. And then in the third year is kind of when they take the quote-unquote leap into becoming more of what they're going to be moving forward. Julius Randle is technically in his third year right now, but I would call this more his second year. So next year, I'd like to see him take more of a leap.
I mean, we're already kind of seeing it this year, right? Yeah. He really seems to have found what he's good at. And when he's in a full lineup and he isn't being asked to do too much, he's been really good.
But that should make people all the more excited about what we could potentially see from Randle next year.
Yeah.
Same goes for D'Angelo Russell, who is in his actual second year right now. But as he figures out the league and he starts figuring out things, and again, you're starting to see the steps kind of occur as that occurs, and as that improvement takes place heading into his third year, then next year I'd like to see a noticeable leap. That's why I could see people are kind of frustrated with Jordan Clarkson right now, because he's in that third year and is still kind of floundering a little bit. But again, he's in his third year, and the first 2 years of his career were with about as bad – like he succeeded with about as bad a situation as anybody's going to succeed the way he did in those first 2 years, if that makes sense. Did that make sense?
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying.
So, yes, I'd like to see Clarkson play better, but I'm not going to judge this – young core until the majority of them are actually in their legitimate third year, which won't take place till next year. So I'll say give them, I'd still say, you know, a couple weeks, a month into next year is when I'll start saying, okay, yeah, they shouldn't still be making these mistakes.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a fair point.
All right.
So that actually does it for viewer questions. Do we want to get into 50 Shades of Shade now?
Yep, let's do that. And again, thanks everybody for sending us those. Send us those on at Locked On Lakers. And we are also on Facebook. We are also Locked On Lakers on Facebook, right?
And go ahead and like us there, and you can comment, and we'll see those, and we could probably answer those questions too. We can do a Facebook show probably next week.
Yep, absolutely. So we're seeing some pretty noticeable growth there. So as always, we appreciate that support. Let's go ahead and give the fans what they want. We haven't done a 50 Shades of Shade in quite some time.
Well, we haven't had an opportunity. We can do them. And hey, if you guys see something, you listeners, that we missed, then go ahead and add us and let us know with hashtag 50 Shades of Shade. We appreciate that stuff because it makes our jobs a little easier.
Yep.
But so Chris Palmer wrote a really, really, really excellent feature story on Nick Young for The Undefeated that all of you guys should go check out. If you're Lakers fans or if you just like good sports writing, I would assume you're Lakers fans if you're listening to this podcast. But within that very long and detailed and good feature was this quote from Nick Young. And he says, I felt like he was trying to change me, and I felt like I've been in this game too long to be changed. The atmosphere was so stiff, there was no life, we were all just working machines.
Whew. And he being the last coach, right?
Yeah, he would be the last coach. The last coach's name is bracketed within that quote.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'll give you. You could have used that as like a exception.
Well,
because
Young
you're quoting.
Well, Nick Young's not trying to get fined for saying his name either, but Chris Palmer doesn't have that stipulation. And right after he is brackets and the name of the Lakers' last coach.
All right, let's go ahead and you rate it first. I'll rate it after you, and then we'll analyze the situation.
So I got a little bit of a contrarian take. I don't even think this is shade. Shade is like subtle. This is not subtle. He just specifically just slammed the last coach. I almost said his name and got fined. This is not subtle at all. I'm assuming in this case he probably just answered a direct question about him, and there was no life. We were all just working machines. Is just brutal.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not even inaccurate if you were around the team last year, but
no,
man.
I'm giving it a 50.
I'm giving it a 0. It was not shade. That was just a straight up diss. That was Nick Young's hit him up.
I do think this is worth pointing out. And actually, I recorded a pretty good podcast with Baxter Holmes, who spoke about this also with Nick. He also sat down and interviewed Nick for what's different from this year to last because of how much better Nick is playing. And here's where it's really easy when you're watching these super athletes to forget they're human beings. And for Nick, it looks pretty obvious at this point that not only does he need to be put in the right basketball situation, you know what I mean? Where he's best as a spot up shooter, asking him to create for others would just be nonsensical. There's the basketball type of situation that he needs to be in, but also the human situation that he needs to be in.
And I kind of sensed where you were going there. But that's one of the major themes of Palmer's piece is Nick Young is really open about how the human element of last year, not really the even just the coaching staff. It was his quote unquote rift or incident or whatever you want to call it with D'Angelo Russell. And there's some really open and raw stuff in there from Young on just kind of how that went down. And he really didn't want to feel like the bad guy, but he was angry. That was the love of his life that he had just lost, partially due to his own decisions, but partially due to this video recording incident. And how do you go back and become friends with this teammate again? And I just thought it was a really, really well done piece on just kind of all the emotions that play into that.
Yep, absolutely. And again,
and it also had some 50 Shades of Shade. So we got to have fun with it too.
Although you would say not. So
yeah, I guess not. Well, it kind of was. I don't know. I thought your opinion might be different. I figured I needed to bring it to the table for that. And because they had not, we hadn't had one in a while.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think it's a great one. I like the angle that you took with it. And I would just hope that, like, if you're listening to the show by now, hopefully you're starting to, like, if we change maybe two people's minds about these athletes being human beings and looking at it from a human element, then we set out and we accomplished our goal. So
yeah,
that was pretty cool. It's really cool to see Nick succeeding. Like I will completely cop to the fact that I was 100% wrong on Nick Young heading into the year. So congratulations, Nick. You have a hot take.
I do have a hot take. Well, it's related to Timofey Mozgov, so I'll get into that in a second. But rest in peace to that Timofey Mozgov gets hit in the face and the Lakers win the next game stat. That's done. Mm-hmm. Happened again last game, and then they lost against the Blazers tonight. So, or last night by the time that you're listening to this. And so that the stat's dead. They're really, really not undefeated in those games anymore. So Timo should probably try to stop getting hit in the face now.
Though, please keep adding me whenever Timo gets hit in the face because I can't help but chuckle.
Yeah, I mean, hey, they're like what? Like, I think they're like 7 or 8-2 by our numbers after games when he gets hit in the face. So that's their best winning percentage under any circumstance this year. So
yeah, keep sending him. Why not? All right, let's go ahead and sound it, everybody. If this is the first time that you're hearing this podcast, you're going to want to turn down your sound dial a little bit. Where Harrison tends to get kind of excited about this, and rightfully so. It's one of our more popular segments. This is Harrison's Hot Takes.
All right, Anthony, I get the sense that Timofey Mozgov is not willing to do everything that it takes to win. He struggled this year, and he spoke to Mark Medina of the Orange County Register about it, and he said, I need to pick it up, be more physical, and hit people around. It's not like killing someone, but being stronger. And you know what? I don't know about you, Anthony, but I was always taught that players should do everything that it takes to win, and Timo obviously isn't willing to do that if he's not willing to kill someone. Yeah. If I was allowing one of the worst percentages at the rim in the league among starting centers, I'd be willing to do anything. Call me crazy. Call me old school. I don't know. Foul more? Sure. Change up my pregame routine? Of course. Start making blood sacrifices? Abso-freaking-lutely. And the worst part is that Timo clearly knows this is an option. Why would he mention it if he didn't think it could help? Would you mention a possible solution that you didn't think could help, Anthony?
I mean, technically, no.
Why are the Lakers paying him so much if he's not willing to do everything that it takes to win? It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's mind-boggling, okay? It literally boggles my mind. My mind is boggled right now. And so now, you know, I want people to understand I'm not advocating murder here. I'm not, but
wait,
I just...
No, hold on. I think you kind of are.
I'd say I'm not, but I do have a message for Mozgov. Everybody else just like tune out for a second. Timo, I'm not saying you should do anything bad to the next guy you guard. I'm just saying take care of him. Okay? I just winked. This is an audio podcast, but I just want you to know it, so you can't see it, but I winked. I'm not necessarily advocating you do anything illegal. I'm just saying you should probably be doing whatever it takes to play better, if you know what I mean. I'm winking again, okay? Just take care of him. You're going to be guarding Hassan Whiteside tonight against the Heat. Just take care of him, Timo.
Man, the Lakers have to fly across. Are they playing? They're playing the Heat at home.
No, they're playing it. They're playing in LA. That's what you took away from that.
All right. Honestly, this is what I actually took away from that is. Imagine the hypothetical in which Mitch hears that quote and calls him into his office. He's like, well, you know, it might not be that bad an idea. If you go to jail, we could get some insurance money out of it.
Okay. Oh,
oh man.
That was the end of the hot take. I can't stay in character after that.
So basically, for those of you who are keeping track at home, we had both Harrison and Mitch Kupchak say without saying that
special guest Mitch Kupchak just spelled differently than the Lakers GM.
Yeah. This has been fun. Enjoy this for the weekend. When we come back, we have some fun shows ahead of us. We were supposed to have a guest here.
This is why I tell Anthony not to reveal the guest names, because you never know who's going to fall through. But we're hoping that we can make our schedules work and get them back on.
Yep. Yeah. So I would say eventually I feel pretty comfortable saying that we're going to have who we were going to have on today at a later date, sooner rather than later. That is.
If you guys get disappointed by the lack of guests, just blame Anthony.
That's fair. That's probably fair. That's absolutely fair. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. For those of you who are new to the show or need places to tell people where they can find the show, you can follow it at Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen, Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Use the promo code LOLakers to get $20 back as a rebate for your first purchase using the application. We will talk to everybody again on Monday.
Hey, if you guys are using that SeatGeek promo code, feel free. If you want to use it over the weekend, I'm going to be at that game against not the Raptors on Sunday. Who are they playing on Sunday?
I really should know
this, considering I bought tickets to the game. But they are playing against the Magic on Sunday. So if you want to come see Lakers Magic, that should actually be a pretty winnable game for the Lakers. Then I will be there with some friends. So just feel free to hit me up on Twitter and come say hi.
Yep. All right. So everybody enjoy your weekends. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.